Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church, located at 905 Yadkin Street in Kingsport, Tennessee, would like to invite you to listen to a message of sovereign grace by their pastor, Gabe Stonecker. And now, Pastor Gabe Stonecker.
I invite you to turn with me in your Bibles this morning to Isaiah chapter 40, and our text is going to be verses 3 to 11. The title of this message is The Threefold Message of Evangelism. Now, the word evangelist is in this Bible three times. And the word means an announcer of good news. An evangelist is simply a preacher of the gospel. That's all he is. Just because a person is a preacher, it doesn't mean he's a preacher of the gospel. Just because a person is a preacher, it doesn't mean he's telling you the truth. So let's ask this question. What is the truth? What is the gospel? And where did this message come from? The answer is God Himself, Jesus Christ. What is the truth? God Himself, Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way and I am the truth. What is the gospel? God Himself, Jesus Christ. Who He is, what He's done. Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Where did this message come from? God Himself, Jesus Christ. This is the Word of God. Well, verse 3 in our text, Isaiah chapter 40, says, The voice of him that crieth in the wilderness. Now, that's prophesying about John. And he's speaking to every single preacher of truth. He's talking about John, and he's talking about every preacher of the gospel. He says in verse 3, Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. If a man is going to be a true gospel preacher, he must prepare the way of the Lord. He must make all of his business the way of the Lord. He must make every path he leads men and women down the way of the Lord. Don't get sidetracked on how to live right. Let's not get sidetracked on how to be happy in life. Let's not get sidetracked on church government. Let's not get sidetracked on wood, hay, and stubble. Prepare ye the way of the Lord. Verse 3 says, Make straight in the desert, in the dry land, in the parched land, in the barren land, in the place where it's just hot and dead. You know what that is? That's a dead, dry, stony heart. Verse 3 says, Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Because He's coming. He's coming. If a preacher is telling men and women the truth, the true gospel, three things will happen. Every time. Three things will happen. Number one, every broken, sad, low, humbled sinner Every single broken, humbled sinner who really hears the gospel, who really hears the good news, they're going to be glad. They're going to be lifted up every time. The second thing that'll happen is every proud, haughty, self-righteous sinner who really hears the gospel is going to be cut down. He's going to be humbled. He's going to be put in his place. He's going to find out he's a sinner like the rest of us. And the third thing that'll happen is all of these scriptures of truth, all of these words that are so hard to follow, so hard to understand, in the preaching of the gospel, they're all going to be made plain. Verse 4 in our text tells us that. It says, every valley shall be exalted. Every low, hurting, humbled sinner is going to be lifted up. And it says, every mountain and hill shall be made low. Every proud, self-righteous sinner is going to be brought down. And the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. These things that are so hard to understand and so hard to follow, it's all going to be made plain through the preaching of the gospel. Now turn with me over to Luke chapter 24. Luke 24, and we're going to read verse 27. It says, and beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. Now look at verse 44. It says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. The true gospel, which is Jesus Christ and Him crucified, makes it all plain, every bit of it. Well, back to our text. What is this gospel? Verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. The glory of the Lord revealed. That's the gospel. The glory of His mercy. The glory of His grace. The glory of His person, who He is. The glory of His work, what He's done. It'll all be revealed through the preaching of this gospel. Verse 5 says, and the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. Here's the command to the true preacher of the gospel. Verse 6 says, the voice said, cry. Cry out. Cry. Here's the true preacher's response. Verse 6 says, what shall I cry? What should I say? What would you have me to say? What is the truth concerning men and women? Verse 6 says, all flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. All flesh is grass. That's so hard for us to get a hold of. It says, all flesh is grass, and the goodliness thereof, the beauty of it, the goodness of it, is as the flower of the field. All flesh, young, old, red, yellow, black, white, religious, church-going, all flesh is worthless. Go out into the yard and pick one blade of grass. Just one blade out of your yard. Pick handfuls of grass. Pick a truckload of grass. Pick a train load of grass. And then go to a store in town and try to buy something with it. It's worthless. It's worthless. Listen to these comments. A man said, "We are born spiritually dead and worthless. Nothing we can do in life improves the condition." Man, that's a pretty hopeless state, isn't it? We are born spiritually dead and worthless. Nothing we can do in life improves the condition. Turn with me over to Romans chapter 7. Romans 7, and let's read verse 18. It says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not." Look at Romans 8, verse 8. It says, "So then they that are in the flesh," that's every single man and woman standing on this planet, earth. Verse 8 says, "So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God." Cannot. This must be preached in order to break man's proud heart. Man needs to know the truth. I need to know the truth. Somebody tell me the truth. We need to know that we're worthless sinners. We need a Savior. We need an intercessor. We need a mediator. Isaiah said, "We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away." Scripture says, man at his best state is altogether vanity. Altogether. Just empty. Turn with me over to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah 6, and let's read verse 5 together. It says, Isaiah said, "Then said I, woe is me, for I'm undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." He said, "I'm a man of unclean lips." How do you know, Isaiah? How do you know you're an unclean thing? How do you know you're a sinner? He said, "Now I know who God is. Now I've seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Now I've seen the Holy One." Well, our text, Isaiah 40, verse 7 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, because the Spirit of the Lord bloweth upon it. Surely the people is grass." Surely. That's the first point in this threefold message. The all flesh is grass. We must get a hold of that. We must understand that. We must bow to that. We must acknowledge that. It's the truth. All flesh is grass. Now here's the second point in this message. Verse 8 says, "The grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." The word of our God shall stand forever. This recorded word, the holy word. Our Lord said, not one word of it shall fail. Not one word or return void. If He said it, the word of our God shall stand forever. Psalm 119, verse 89 says, "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." It's settled in heaven. It's ordered. It's sure. "Forever, O Lord, Thy word is settled in heaven." This word was given to us in time. But in the beginning was the Word. Jesus Christ, the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was made flesh. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. Jesus Christ, the Word. The Word of God, the Son of God, shall stand forever. His office shall stand forever. He's our King. He's our King. And our King shall stand forever. He's our Maker. He owns us. He controls us. We belong to Him. And we're going to belong to Him forever. He's our defender. He's our protector. And we shall be defended and protected forever. He's our redeemer. And we shall be redeemed forever. He's our friend. And He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you." He shall stand forever. His blood, His shed blood, is going to stand forever. Our redemption, our atonement, our payment for the debt of our sins is going to be paid in full forever. Forever. His grace, His mercy and His grace, thanks be to God, shall stand forever. If He has shown mercy to us, it'll never end. We'll stand in His mercy forever. Forever. His gift to us, His grace, the gift of Himself, will never be taken away. Never. And His glory and His honor and His exaltation will never be diminished. Never. It will stand forever. That's good news, isn't it? Isn't that wonderful news? All flesh is grass, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Now here's the third part in this threefold message. Verse 9 in our text, Isaiah 40, says, "O Zion, that bringest good tidings, get thee up into the high mountain. O Jerusalem, that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice with strength. Lift it up. Be not afraid. Say unto the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold your God. All flesh is grass. The word of our God shall stand forever. Behold your God. John the Baptist was preaching. He was telling people about Christ. He was telling people about Christ. He said, I'm not even worthy to tie this man's shoes. He kept saying, Christ is the one who's coming. And all of a sudden, here he comes. And John lifted up his voice and he cried, behold the Lamb of God. Behold. Look to him. Look to him. If you from sin are longing to be free, look to the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Look to him. Look and live. Behold. Behold. Your God. That's the good news. Your God. He's not just a God. He's not just the God. He's your God. He's my God. Thanks be to God. I am my beloved's. And my beloved is mine. He said, I'm good. I'm gracious. He said, you're a sinner. You're vile. You're unworthy. But I will have mercy. I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion. And I am my beloved's, and my beloved's is mine. I will be your God. I need my God. My God. He said, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will take your sin. I will take your sinfulness. I'll take it off of you. I'll put it on me. I'll take it to the cross. I'll take it to the grave. I'll pay the penalty. I'll pay the price. I'll pay the debt. I'll do away with all that sin. Then I'll gather you unto myself, and you will be my people. Verse 10 in our text, Isaiah chapter 40, says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his work is before him. That says, behold, the Lord God. That's Jesus Christ, the Lord. It says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand. That's Jesus Christ, the right hand of God. It says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand and his arm. That's Jesus Christ. The Lord hath made bare his holy arm. Jesus Christ. It says, behold, the Lord God will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. And then it says, behold, his reward is with him. What is his reward? Well, turn with me over to Psalm chapter 2. Let's turn to Psalm 2 and read verse 8. It says, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance, and the uttermost parts of the earth for thy possession." That's God the Father speaking to God the Son. And he said, "Ask of me, and I shall give thee the heathen for thine inheritance." The heathen is you and me. The heathen, the outcast, the strangers. It's an unfair inheritance, isn't it? All his people get him. They get the precious one. They get the Son of God for their inheritance. He gets the heathen. But the good news of the gospel is, Isaiah 40 verse 10 says, "Behold, his reward is with him." Oh, he takes us with him. He said, "I'll never leave you. I'll never, never, no, never forsake you." I want to be with him. I want to be in him. Lord, keep your hand on me. Help us. That's good news. His reward is with him. And then verse 10 says, "His work before him." His work before him. I am a sinner saved by grace. That's all I am. I cannot do anything to merit a righteousness before God. I can't. There's no work that I can do to inherit the kingdom of heaven. But his work is before him. Everything that was required to satisfy God, everything that was required to satisfy justice and judgment, he accomplished in his work. He walked this earth for 33 years, and he did everything that was required to fulfill the law. And then he went to the cross, and he did everything that was required to pay the punishment of sin. And the Father is pleased, well pleased, because all of Christ's work is before him. Behold, your great God. Verse 11 says, "He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arm and carry them in his bosom and shall gently, gently, mercifully, tenderly, compassionately lead those that are with young." That translates "those that give milk." Lord, help us. Give us the sincere milk of the Word. All flesh is grass. The Word of our God shall stand forever. So behold your God. Until next Sunday morning, may the Lord bless His Word.
You have been listening to a message by Gabe Stonecker, pastor of Kingsport Sovereign Grace Church in Kingsport, Tennessee. If you would like a copy of this message or to hear other messages of Sovereign Grace, you can write to our physical mailing address at 905 Yadkin Street, Kingsport, Tennessee 37660, or log on to our website at kingsportsovereigngracechurch.com. If you would like to come and worship with us, our service times are Sunday morning Bible study at 10 o'clock a.m., worship at 10:45 a.m. and 6 o'clock p.m., Wednesday evening at 7:30 p.m. Please tune in next Sunday morning at 8:30 for another message of God's free and sovereign grace.